Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, Paul Fontaine alongside of Jeff Hawkins here on the Fight Game Media Network YouTube channel. We're here on X, and for those of you listening on audio, I want to thank you as well. And make sure to sign up for the Fight Game Media YouTube video page. If you haven't already, you'll get notifications whenever we or anyone else is live. And I got a new show I'm going to plug later on I'll talk about publicly for the first time. So that's going to be pretty cool. But
A new show? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's I'm still doing this one.
Oh, darn.
I never have anything to plug, and I'm going to have something to plug later.
Let me ask you something, Paul. Have you ever had a co-host who wore merch from a 42-year-old movie? No. I'm here for this.
I watched a 40-year-old movie today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Captain Chaos Cannonball Run shirt. It's pretty
awesome. Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. I love that movie. I'm wearing a Awesome God shirt from the song of the same name that Benson Henderson used to walk out to.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Jeff.
Yeah.
They finally announced Double or Nothing. We say finally. It's 8 weeks away. That's fine. It's no big deal. But
well, people like to make plans occasionally.
True. Well, and I'm going, so I'm glad to know that I'm tentatively going.
I have a hotel room reserved.
I mean, that's literally all I have so far.
Yeah.
But I haven't booked a flight. I do have a hotel room that I didn't pay for. So I literally have no money committed yet. But I'm verbally committed to buy tickets. And I'm going to all the convention stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, 8 weeks. And wife's given me permission to go for 4+ days. So that's fun. She's going away too. So I got to watch Emily for 5 days. And then she's got to watch her for 4 days. So So MGM Grand instead of T-Mobile.
Boo.
And nicely enough, I got 4 nights at the MGM. So I'm staying in the same hotel as the wrestlers.
That's fine. I'm a Park MGM guy. I love that place because it's non-smoking.
I haven't been there yet, so I don't know. But I've never stayed at MGM. So they offered
MGM
me 4 nights.
MGM Grand's okay. I hate going to events there, though. Like I went to both Weidman versus Anderson Silva fights there.
Yeah,
and it's a pain in the ass to leave and to get in because of the bottleneck.
Did you go to the Conor Aldo? Or no, not Conor, Chad Mendes?
No.
That one was terrible. Oh my God. Took us 90 minutes to get out of there.
Yeah, I love T-Mobile Arena, though. T-Mobile Arena is great.
Yeah, but I do like the fact that I got 4 nights for free. So
that's fine.
On a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the other thing was that was making news today. Becky Lynch is doing the rounds and she is talking about her book that's I don't know if it's out already or it's coming out later this week.
It is out, I believe.
It's out. Okay. The Man by Not Your Average Girl by Rebecca Quinn, but it's like Becky Lynch, The Man, Not Your Average Girl by Rebecca Quint.
I think it's Not Your Average Girl.
You are correct. Yeah. And so, yeah, she's been doing the interviews. My buddy Phil Strum interviewed her, as well as Ariel.
She's actually quite good on the media circuit.
She is.
I've enjoyed some of the things she's done. Like I watched her do Last Meals with the Mythical Kitchen crew over at Good Mythical Morning. They're down the road here in Burbank.
Get her on this show.
She's done stuff there before. I think it was either Today or CBS This Morning interview. I thought she did a really good job on that one too.
She's really doing everything then. Mm-hmm. But one of the nuggets that she's let out, I think it was on the Ariel Helwani show, is that her contract has 2 months left. So naturally, this has people speculating, is she coming to AEW?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
But I do think it's in her best interest to make people think she will.
Look, if Tony will overpay her and pay more than Mercedes, which will drive Mercedes absolutely nuts, sure.
That's probably what it would take to get her. So,
that'd be the minimum it would take to get her.
But to get to that point, WWE would have to not sign her before she becomes a free agent. And I think we both expect that, you know, she'll sign before she even hits a market.
Oh yeah. No, she's the linchpin. I mean, other than I think Rhea and Bianca
unintended
are probably there. Oh God. I did make a pun there, didn't I? Darn it. $5 in the pun jar for Jeff.
I got a few tonight.
I think I say this about the horsewomen. Like, Bailey's the best bell to bell. Charlotte's the best athlete. Mercedes does the biggest high spots and the biggest moments. But Lynch is the biggest star of them. And I just don't see them letting her walk unless her demands are outrageous. And I don't see her demands being that outrageous, especially she gets to go to work with her husband. She gets to bring her kid along, free daycare, all that other
stuff. Well, here's the thing. The word was that WWE probably could have kept Sasha if they would have paid her what they paid Charlotte.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to pay her what they paid Charlotte. So the question is, are they willing to pay Becky what they paid Charlotte? And
yes.
My guess is yes. But again, what you got to remember, Jeff, and I know you have a lot of experience with WWE. You you know, you're close with people that used to work there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe even people that still do. Mm-hmm. But this is TKO, and TKO has a habit of letting people go.
No, you know that. No, that's a very good point. I hadn't even thought of.
But,
to be honest with you,
people in the position of Becky generally are the people that they would keep.
Yeah, because TKO likes its stars. I mean, they're not going to overpay for an up and comer necessarily. But once you've hit that pinnacle of stardom, which she has, and you can carry a brand and you can carry a show and you can carry a WrestleMania. Yeah. They're going to pay her. I think even TKO knows where that bread is buttered.
Matt says, she's blessed that AEW exists. Now's the time to say all kinds of nice things about AEW. Wrestlers that bash the competition are enormous morons. They must hate money.
Yes. But from what both of us know, Becky is very happy being a WWE employee for the most part.
Well, and she even said, like, even Vince, like, you know, that, I mean, she didn't say it. I didn't listen, so I shouldn't put words in her mouth, but I'm going off what people have told me that she said, was that Vince was always nice to her.
Yeah.
And so
once he found out that he could count on her to headline and get an audience behind her, you're golden in Vince's eyes.
Exactly. I mean, and then what he likely did to other people, you know, that's, I think she's just leaving that in the hands of the authorities.
And, yeah. Look, hers is an interesting story because, I mean, the most fascinating thing is go watch the Women's Evolution pay-per-view. And it's not until three quarters of the match where they finally drop the facade that Becky's the heel, when the crowd desperately wants her to be the babyface. They tried that, and there are very few performers who can sway an audience to that point where it's like they can go against the corporate plan and absolutely ruin it.
Well, the ironic thing is now is that the roles are reversed, and she's supposed to be the babyface going into the match with Rhea.
Yeah.
And the crowd is choosing Rhea.
Yeah.
And Becky is pivoting. Like, you can hear it in Becky's promos. She knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And she's setting herself up to be booed if that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. She's and that's also interesting going into a negotiation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like your star's not burning as bright when you're a heel in this position, especially.
But you do need a strong heel.
You do.
That's what Drew McIntyre has done. And so what I was going to say was about the TKO thing. So when you look at people at certain levels, and you look at, like, I'll take Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. Okay. Those guys a year ago were probably at the same level. Drew has risen his stock.
Oh, yeah.
In that time. And Sheamus, I mean, he got hurt. And I mean, he hasn't really been bad. He just hasn't been around. And Sheamus is the kind of guy that TKO will let go.
Yes.
Because, you know, they just, he's,
if he asks for too much, yes.
I mean, even they might not even give him an offer, you know, like from what I heard with Claudio, when his time was up, they gave him, they lowballed him.
Yeah.
And then he went to the competition and tried to get a deal there. And then they said no.
And then they got mad.
And he tried to take the lowball offer and he said no again.
Yeah.
And then
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And then he finally ended up signing with AEW. And I think he got a nice deal at the end of it.
Oh, but, no. He signed with WWE. And then when that came out, he came back. There were two times that happened.
I'm remembering wrong. Yeah. But I think a guy like Sheamus, you know, is a guy that they would let go. So I'm trying to think, like, in the women's division, like, you know, they're not going to let people go that are on the come up. They're not going to let people go that are under 30. So, you know, if Becky was not a star, they might let her go. But I don't think she would.
I can see them letting go somebody like Bayley.
Yeah, and especially since she's,
which would be a shame.
Yeah,
because I think she's the best bell to bell worker they have in the division, and they probably love her. But I mean, I don't see her as being a person who, you know, asks for a lot. Like Charlotte could be a borderline decision. That'd be interesting.
Well, they just gave her a new deal though.
Yeah, I know.
Matt has another interesting point. Conspiracy theory. Nick Khan fed the question to Ariel because they want a free agency win.
That's
not the worst theory in the world, given Ariel's history.
It's not like Ariel was throwing up bombs either. Yeah. I mean, these are softball questions for the most part, and she plays the game. It's fine. Yeah. I don't read too much into it.
It very well could have even been the other way, where Nick Khan told her, hey, mention your free agency when
make the most money in WWE, you're going to go to WWE.
Yeah. Probably. And and they are doing the same thing with Drew too. He's, the words recently come out that he still hasn't signed. And I think, you know, his contract's supposedly up after WrestleMania.
That's cool.
I can't imagine he's building a match with CM Punk if he hasn't already signed or at least agreed to sign. But
I could see a short-term extension. And then it's like they built up his character so he can go make money elsewhere. That'd be fun. Yeah,
but it's a
different crew now. It's not Vince who's got Barry on the way out.
Yeah, and that would be like, you know, John Francis Ngannou building up a match with John Jones, and then they just let him go.
Yeah,
yeah. So, all right, let's get to this Dynamite show. So I will say, like, on paper, this looked like it was going to be a great show. You know, they had Will Ospreay and Shibata advertised. They had Swerve Strickland and, oh shoot, I forgot about one other thing we gotta mention.
Okay.
Well, it plays into the main event. We also had the Swerve Strickland and Takeshita. For the winner, it's gonna be the number one contender because Jeff, the rankings are back.
Oh,
yeah, the rankings are back. The official rankings are gonna be released. Probably as we speak. Tony Khan earlier today said they were going to happen after Dynamite. So we've got our boy Kevin Ely on the case. And if the rankings are released, he may hop on and fill us in. And I just can't wait.
Will we do rankings talk? Oh, that'll be such great audio.
Oh, we're not giving this much time, but I do want to know what they are. I mean, I'm just curious.
I didn't like this show all that much. Well,
I was just going to say, this show looked better on paper.
This show looked great on paper, and it felt like a show that was there, that existed, and they didn't build anything, and it's one of those things where this was a show for people like you, Paul.
Here's the thing. Like, when I look at this show, like, when I read my notes and when I think back about the matches,
yes, this is what you do.
Well, yeah, except I still, like, as I was watching it, I was thinking, like, this isn't lighting my world on fire.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Yeah, the first match was awesome. Like, but even though it was awesome, I was disappointed. Because I'm used to Will Ospreay hitting, like, not just a home run, a grand slam every single time he swings the bat. And this was a triple. Like, it was great. Triples are awesome. But I mean, he didn't hit a grand slam. And then the main event was probably as good as I was expecting. But as I'm watching it, there was like zero story to this main event.
Yes.
Move.
I'm a build guy. I come out of the show and going, okay, what did they build? And the answer was Best Friends and the Jacksons, which is fine. They kind of built that. Not much, but a little bit. They hinted, what's going to happen next week. Okay,
they built Ospreay Danielson.
Sort of.
Yeah. They built Joe and Swerve, but I don't know. Like, if I'm at an 8 for Danielson Ospreay right now, and by the time we get to the pay-per-view, I'll probably be at a 10. I'm at like a 3.
And I don't want to compare it to the other company, because the other company is building to their biggest show of the year.
Well, that's part of it, too.
And that's unfair on our part if we did that.
But I'm trying to only think about AEW here. And I'm thinking, like, they're doing a really good job building Danielson and Ospreay. I thought that video package they did today was great.
I think the video package is fine. I just think it's one of those – it's the wrong build. I'm not into the who's the best technical wrestler. And I want to see a fight. I want to see who's the best wrestler. I don't care about the best technical.
Well, I think that was the idea of having them both face Shibata.
Yeah, I know that, but that goes to another problem. So let's get to the match so I can complain about that a little bit.
All right. So this Ospreay Shibata match. I mean, part of the issue was, and I think it was Matt that brought it up to me on Twitter. And if it wasn't Matt, I apologize, but when I said my comment, and the fact is this was a Shibata match. This wasn't an Ospreay match.
And, yes.
And so they, you know, and they, okay, there's another problem with this show. Crowd was dead for the most part. And
you give the crowd a cheer.
Well, the problem is that TSN airs Dynamite in Canada.
Okay.
And Quebec City is primarily French. They do not have French broadcasts in Canada.
Okay.
So the only broadcast is English.
So this is a bad place to run a show then?
Probably, yeah. I mean, they had a decent crowd. It was like 4,000.
I thought the crowd was pretty good. It's just...
But they were dead at times. Like, and there were times when they were dead where I think a regular crowd would have popped. Like, when they were working on the ground, they were dead. Like, you could have heard a pin drop. And when Danielson and Shibata were doing the same thing, wherever the hell that match was, they were popping for everything.
Well, yes, but you're okay. This is where it gets into my gripe about this. What is Will Ospreay's nickname?
The Aerial Assassin.
And what kind of match do we throw him into? A ground grappling on his second week or third week in the company.
This is like putting Speedball in a Bloodsport match, which they do.
No, it's like putting Speedball in a pure match is what it is.
Oh, and yeah. Well, that's a good point because he kept going for the ropes and they kept bringing that up. Like, he's never broken any of these submissions.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, if this was a pure match, he would have lost already.
If I'm going to a TV taping, I want to see something. I this is why you go to live sports and you sign the. I want to dig the long ball. I want to see somebody, Mark McGwire, hit some dingers. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And instead, what I'm getting the Aerial Assassin versus Shibata. Okay, let's see some aerial assassinness. Nope.
Yeah.
Grapple effing. And it's like,
it was really good. It was very good.
But that's not what people wanted to see. No. They wanted to see Will Ospreay destroy Shibata so that we could hype up this match with Danielson. And Will Ospreay's going to kill this fool. And instead, what we got was Shibata taking 75% of this match.
Yeah.
And Ospreay just doing his finisher when Shibata does the lame fighting spirit roar spot.
They would do the spots where like Ospreay would hit him like three times with chops and Shibata would no sell, and then Shibata would hit him with one and Ospreay would fall like he'd been shot.
Question, why wasn't this a beat the clock match?
I don't know.
Because the whole point of this is Ospreay said, oh, you beat Shibata, I'm gonna beat him better. And it should have been a countdown the entire time
listen to that Ospreay promo, the idea was the last time he faced Shibata kicked the shit out of him, which he did here too. But the difference is this time he won. So he's making progress.
Did we see the Shibata match on our television screen?
We did not, but they told us about it.
Well, they told us about crap. I mean, you know, again, this is a television program. I understand if you want to go see a super indie, you might remember that match from 2014 or whatever.
I'll remember.
You're fine, Danielson, Paul. You're a historian.
I'll remember the Danielson match much longer than I'll remember this one.
And you're one of the 200,000 people that watched Collision who saw that match live. It also goes to the fact that Bryan Danielson is over in another world right now.
Yes.
And that nobody cares about. And it's just it's all disconnected at the same time. And that's what's driving me a little bit nuts. It's like I came out of the show going, okay, what did that accomplish? And the answer was it didn't accomplish much, to be honest with you. And don't get me wrong, I thought the video package was fine. I just think it's the wrong tack to take on this match.
Fair enough. You mentioned the no selling. So that was, Ospreay hit his Os cutter. Shibata kicked out at one. Then they traded these like super hard lariats. Then Ospreay went for another Os cutter. Shibata blocked that one. Then Ospreay wiped him out with an uppercut and got two. Shibata hit a tiger driver. And then he sat up in the middle of the ring. And then Ospreay hit what they call the hidden blade, except for it was to the front. And that was weird. But that's what ended up getting the pin.
Why don't we give Ospreay commander here or something? Somebody who's going to go aerial to aerial with him.
Well, I'm sure that'll come at some point.
I'm sure it would. And
Maybe he'll get the match with commander, and then Danielson will decide he wants to do a commander match.
He fought Shibata. I'm going to fight Shibata. We have to keep Shibata strong for some reason.
Yeah. Well, he's probably going to.
So because he's going to go after a Ring of Honor secondary title or something.
That pure title is basically his.
This is marketing. I rebel.
He still can't wrestle in the U.S.
It's where I rebel. It's where I rebel against friends of mine who want to watch a wrestling show to watch good wrestling. I can care less about a 3.5 star classic. I really could at this
point. Well, I gave this one 4.5. But that's great. Yeah, but again, like
that's right. Trent was on the show, so there's your 3.5 star.
But I was disappointed, even though it was 4.5 stars.
Yeah, I was
Will Ospreay, and I was expecting 5.
The tone was wrong. I'm watching this. The crowd wants something, and they're not giving it to them.
Yes,
it was just.
I noted that several.
This crowd
times.
Was begging for something. This crowd was begging for action, is what they were begging for. And what they got was Shibata grinding a guy on the mat for three minutes, and you're like, no.
These fans did not want to see Ospreay doing groundwork. Like, that's just it. Like, that's the sum up of
chicks dig time. The long ball. They wanted to see some dingers.
And they popped when his music hit.
Yes.
And when he came out, they popped. And then when the match started, they died.
The aerial assassin and then ground and pound. Good God.
But I'm sure a lot of people, like I said, I thought the match was really good. It just wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be.
Right.
All right, so we did get that video package right after this. Oh, they bowed to each other and shook hands after the match as well, I should point out.
Code of honor.
Yeah, in this AEW match. So video package for Danielson. Tony Schiavone called him the one and only, the greatest. We know he's never won a belt in this company.
They won a big match all year either.
No. They showed a lot of early Ring of Honor and New Japan footage, and they brought up how he was forced to retire. So it was like, it was kind of funny because they showed all the Ring of Honor stuff, and then basically the way, if you didn't know he was in WWE, what you think happened was that he was forced to retire after being in Ring of Honor, and then he came back to AEW in 2021. Although they did show a picture of him from his WWE days at one point. And it's ironic because there was a, wasn't it, was it, is it this coming week or was it this past week when they did a Daniel Bryan A&E biography. I think it might have been
last week. But
yeah,
I'm wondering who this package was supposed to convince, because if you watch AEW, he's a great technical wrestler who just lost to Eddie Kingston.
Yeah,
and lost. You know, if you're a worldwide wrestling fan, you know that he lost to Zack Sabre Jr. earlier.
He also beat him. He beat Shibata.
Whoopie crap. So did Will Ospreay, who's not even supposed.
So did Wheeler Yuta,
who's an aerial assassin of a legend.
Wheeler Yuta beat him too. Yeah.
So it was one of those things where you're watching this and going, are they trying to convince themselves now that they can build this as best technician versus Will Ospreay type of a thing? Brian Danielson would be awesome here.
I'm not going to go back in time and pretend that I wasn't super fired up for this match after Will Ospreay's
promo. I'm still kind of fired up for this match. Don't get me wrong.
I'm talking for tonight's match. I was fired up for Ospreay Shibata after Will's promo last week. Because when he talked about, like, the last time you beat the piss out of me, I was bleeding, like, all this, I'm like, oh, I want to see Ospreay get revenge. And all I saw was him get beat the shit out of again. And then
Didn't really get revenge. It didn't look feud. Like, oh, I remember this beating.
He earned Shibata's respect. So there was that.
That's great. But again, it's like Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson cutting promos on Will and his aerial assassin-ness and you think you're a tough guy now or whatever. That's what I want, some heat out of this, as opposed to this is a dream match and I can't wait to wrestle you in the ring. It's like, give me the heat. I want the heat, Paul.
Yeah. All right. So the next thing might have been my favorite.
Steal the show. Thanks, Dolph. Appreciate it.
My next thing might have been my favorite thing on the show. It was Renee Paquette interviewing the Bucks.
Yes.
They were mad because Marvez wasn't there. Then they pointed out, Matt points out that we had a couple objectives when we came back. We wanted to retire that old bastard Sting, and we did that. We wanted to restructure the Elite, and we did that. We brought in Kazuchika Okada, and his name got a pop. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. And then he put over that he beat Eddie Kingston for the Continental title last week. And he said, tonight he's going to be watching from the back. We don't need him out there. He said, our most important goal is to get our AEW tag team titles back. And he said, my life was ruined for a year after losing to these guys the first time. Lightning never strikes the same place twice. And then he says, let's have a great show. You're doing a great job, Renee. And then he says, but just one little piece of advice. You need to smile more. And I'm like, at first I was like, that's good advice. And then I was like, in my mind, I think she smiles a lot.
Don't tell women to smile more. That's a good lesson for all men.
I'm watching the show, every promo, I don't know if this was on purpose, but every time she was on there, she wasn't smiling. And I think the Bucks got to find her.
I popped for the line that Alex Marvez was better looking.
Yeah, he mentioned that. Yeah. And so poor Renee, like, she's trying not to crack because they told her not to smile. They told her to smile. So she's trying to make sure not to smile, but I think she wanted to laugh. And it was difficult.
Oh, she was chomping on her tongue very hard.
Yeah. I loved it though.
Yeah.
What I didn't love was the match that followed, which was the Young Bucks against the Private Party. So first off, Excalibur was out of control in this match, trying to turn this into the NCAA March Madness tournament.
Yes.
Apparently now we have the West side brackets and the East side brackets. And I think the Young Bucks are the one seed and Private Party was the 8 seed. He mentioned, and was it the first one? Okay.
The first tournament. And he was trying to kind of bring that parallel to an 8 seed being a 1 seed.
They showed highlights of Private Party beating the Bucks in 2019. Yes. That was 5 years ago. These guys are further down the card now than they were then.
I agree.
Yeah. But then Taz, when he's referencing the highlights, doesn't say, oh, we saw highlights of that earlier. Taz says, we saw the B-roll. What the is he talking about?
Like, B-roll is B-roll's a TV term.
I understand that. Okay. I understand that. That's not a sports term. They don't right. say that in a hockey game. Oh, show us the B-roll. You know.
Yeah. No, they say should they show us the highlights, and exactly. that's what it should have been, as yeah, opposed to like, yeah, because B-roll makes them sound lesser, and I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, they did a bunch of
B-roll
stuff.
Is something you see in like cooking videos where yes, they're taking pictures yes. of the food and go, let's roll the B-roll.
Yes. Know, for yeah. Yeah. But they don't call it the B-roll. So they, yeah, so they went outside the ring for a bit, and one of the, they did something nuts early. They, Matt did a Falcon Arrow on Mark Quinn from the barricade to the floor. Poor Mark Quinn was not the same after that. I think he got roughed up. They were trying to win by count out. They showed Okada watching on a TV, like a WWE guy in the back. And then I corrected myself, 'cause I don't think WWE does that anymore. They were doing this all night. Okada's standing as close to I am as to my monitor, which is about, I don't know, 2 feet. And I don't know why they couldn't give him a dressing room where he could watch like on a couch. He's got to stand in the hall and watch 2 feet away from the monitor like an idiot.
He drives in a Porsche, but he can't get his own room.
Exactly. Yeah. So they went to commercial. Bucks were in control. They came back and it looks like all they did in the commercial was work over Mark Quinn. Crowd was dead. They like every time Private Party like made a tag that you would quote unquote call a hot tag, I just called it a cold tag because they would do this tag and then they come in and they just get beaten up again.
They were gassed.
Oh, I think Mark Quinn really got shooken up by that move outside the ring, like early on.
But continue because I have a lot to say about this.
All right. And during here, they announced that the East Side brackets are going to be on Collision, FTR and the Infantry, and Absolutely Big and Top Flight. That's my name for them. Ricky Starks and Big Bill. Private Party hit Gin and Juice. That probably got the first pop of the match. I was shocked that the crowd even knew what that was, although it's just a cool looking move. But then Quinn made a tag to Cassidy. They hit Bang for Your Buck on Matt, but Nick made the save. Nick grabbed the ring bell. The ref stopped him from using it. Matt punted Cassidy in the balls. But then Quinn nailed Matt with a title belt. That looked like it was going to be the finish, and I think the crowd actually thought it was going to be, but then Nick put Matt's foot on the rope to break up the count. At this point, the crowd was just out of it, and Zay made a cold tag. Quinn missed a 630 splash. They took forever to set that up. Cassidy kept moving Matt, like here, there, everywhere, and then after he missed the thing, they hit the EVP trigger and got the pin, and this was bad.
This was not good.
Yeah.
Tonally, they couldn't get on track because Private Party came out. They came out of the heel tunnel, I think.
Oh, did they? I don't pay attention to that.
I was trying to pay attention, but they're working like baby faces when they're heel. Well,
because they are baby faces.
No, they're not.
Dang. Are you sure?
No, they turned on Top Flight and Andretti, and they were going down the heel route. But they're also doing.
Didn't Jeff Hardy turn on them?
They're also doing Hardy spots all night, which is weird.
Well, I think Jeff's the heel.
They were gassed. They weren't even getting tags correct because Taz is burying them.
Yeah, he did three times. They tagged at one point. Yeah.
And then the Bucks, for as great as they are, could not carry these guys.
No, and they're in IDGAF mode. Like they're just out there. You know, they're wrestling in, but Matt's got a pink suit on.
They're wrestling in gear that they can't move around in. That's the thing that they're doing. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Especially when you're slipping and sliding on the mat.
But they just don't
care. EVP trigger. They didn't get the EVP trigger correct. And that's one of the easiest moves to do.
I blame that on Mark Quinn because
but the tonal shift was so weird too, because it's like, okay, the Bucks get the bell. And then they kick him in the balls. And then, but one of the members of Private Party who have been working as baby faces this entire time, and Paul thinks they're a baby face, now have a title belt to try and knock out the Bucks.
I think the low blow should have been the finish.
I do too. That's what they've been finishing with before anyway. Yeah. So just finish with the low blow.
But they wanted to do that one last like spot where the crowd thought it was going to be.
You know what? This shouldn't have even been a work rate match. This should have been two heel teams trying to out cheat each other.
Yeah, they could have done that. Except, again, I'm not positive Private Party or you.
I'm not positive either anymore. Yeah. But I could swear on the one Rampage I watched, they were
trying to think of who they teamed with. Remember that random Rampage match where it
was but they broke up. But remember, they also broke up after that. It was like a 12 man tag, and then they.
You know what? You're right. No. They are heels because remember they brought in Willie Mack.
Yeah,
they're auditioning him to be a member of Private. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. They are heels. Okay. All right.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okada was watching the back still, and he nodded in appreciation.
Oh, and they teamed with the Jarrett crew for that 12-man tag.
Yes, they did. They mockingly shake the hands of Private Party, like, you know, hey, good job, guys. And then they did an ad for ROH, Omega, and Claudio figures, like, that was disguised as, you know, just showing off their toys, but it was product placement. A lot of that tonight.
Along with the Woo Energy cans at the end of the
match. Yeah, but they didn't mention them. That was funny.
No, they did not.
Yeah, but they were there. We got a video package for Konosuke Takeshita building up the main event. It was basically Don Callis talking over highlights. He mentioned they beat Omega twice, destroyed Jericho and Darby. He says, you can bring Nana all you want in his stupid little dance. You're standing in our way. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Swerve's house. Your house is on my street, in my neighborhood. All the houses are mine, and tonight Takeshita is going to take everything from you, including your opportunity to become number one contender. It was a nice little package.
I liked the promo. Unfortunately, they did not pay it off in the main event in any way, but okay.
Not at all. Nope. They showed a limo arriving. I checked the time. It was 50 minutes after the start of the show, and Mercedes arrived.
Fashionably late.
She got out of the cab, I thought it was Jade for a second. just the way she was dressed. Funny thing is, though, like in WWE, when they always show these things, arriving 1:12 Central Time, you know, 2:45 Eastern Time, whatever. Mercedes is live. She got there 2 minutes before her segment started, and she was out of there before it was over.
Get paid. I'm here for this.
Yeah, no, I this is not a complaint. She's a star, and that made it very clear. Earlier today, I didn't mention this, but Darby Allin had quote tweeted the AEW preview for the show, and he's like, I'm going to be there too, and I'm going to have a special guest with me. And there's a lot of speculation going on. Okay, they're in Canada. You know, someone said Sting. I'm like, no, it's not going to be Sting. They're not bringing Sting in with no notice. I said, maybe, you know, a local legend. Someone said Jacques Rougeau. I was like, what about PCO? You know, like, that'd be fun, Darby and PCO. You know, I was like, instead what we got was a video package. I don't know where they were. They may have mentioned it. Darby and Tony Hawk. And it's some sort of thing about skate parts. And basically, this was a paid advertisement to get donations for a project of Tony Hawk's.
Darby was originally going to climb Mount Everest for charity for Tony Khan, for Tony Hawk's skate park initiative type of thing.
So this was to kind of maybe make up for some of the money. Okay, well, then, it's a nice thing. It was at one point.
Tony Hawk is ageless, though. I mean, that dude was old when I was growing up and in skating. I had a hot pink Tony Hawk skateboard.
You're a TV guy.
Yes.
Talk about ageless. This is a total non sequitur, but you know how old Dermot Mulroney is?
See, I always get Dermot Mulroney and Dylan.
I know, and
Dermot
mixed
up.
But Dermot, and it's actually Dylan McDermott I'm talking about.
Oh, Dylan McDermott. Dylan McDermott, I think, is like 62, 63.
62.
Yeah.
He looks exactly the same as he did when he was on the practice.
He's a good looking man.
In 1997, he was on the practice, and he looked 40 then, and he looks 40 now. Like, it's
ridiculous. Dating Maggie Q will keep you young.
Yeah, I'm watching him on FBI Most Wanted, and I'm just
Dylan McDermott now, not Dermot Mulroney, right?
Correct. Yeah, Dylan
McDermott. Okay.
So I'm watching the show, and I'm like, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, okay, like, how old is he? Like, he's got to be at least 50, but he doesn't look 50.
I'd kill for his hairline. That's all. Oh, I mean, he's a good looking man. I'd make out with him.
Yeah, I don't swing that way, but
I don't either. But man, I'd make out with him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I take the settlement anyways. All right.
Speaking of settlements, Chris Jericho and Hook. No.
Actually, that is the next.
Is it next?
Yeah. Tony Hawk planted off his broken foot. I should have pointed that out as well when he was doing one of his tricks.
Darby's Tony Hawk Hawk
did a trick and he planted off of Darby's foot.
Off of Darby's foot. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We got Remarkable Renee, Paquette, and Hook and Jericho. So remember last week, Jericho promised that he was going to give Hook something this week. And you had a great idea.
Yeah, I thought I was going to give him the Lionheart moniker.
Yeah. No. No.
No.
He's going to give him advice.
Come to my room.
Yeah,
my room alone, and I'll give you advice.
Yeah, you exceeded my expectations. I'm willing to give you advice for you to become a future world champion. And I'm like, that's it.
He's totally never done that before.
No, he said, I appreciate it, but I know who you are. It's like, oh yeah, Hook is not stupid. I know you're just trying to glom off my heat.
If he had called him a clout vampire, it would have been a 5-star segment.
I mean, he might as well have. And then Chris said, okay, I know who you are too, and I know who you can be. And then he fist bumped him, and Hook reluctantly fist bumped him. So yeah, it was nothing. It was absolutely nothing.
Who's gonna give a crap about a Chris Jericho heel turn on Hook? And nobody.
Except he might not. I have a feeling that this may just be.
Oh, you think this is gonna
be a mentor? I also think Ridge Holland might have retired.
You know what? You know what this might be? This might be Jericho making the save for Hook again in another exit.
Yeah.
Just to prove that I'm not that guy anymore.
And the crowd's going to boo him anyways.
Before Hager and him turn on somebody.
This crowd is sick.
I will not crowd blame because
I don't mean this specific crowd. I mean, AEW fans in every city are sick and tired of Chris Jericho.
Yes, they want a break.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all we need is like all we need is like 2 months.
Go do your music. Go sing. Go do.
Go to Europe and sell out Fozzy concerts, and then come back refreshed, renewed.
Playing Judas.
Play Judas. That
stupid Lionheart music.
Yes.
Nobody wants to hear White Lion or White Zombie.
White Lion.
I like White Lion. Nobody wants to hear White Zombie.
Don't forget me when I'm gone.
No, that's not White. That's not.
Oh, no, that's White. That's White Tiger.
Simple Minds, isn't it?
No. They're Canadian.
Glass Tiger. Glass Tiger.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, White Lion is.
Who's White Lion?
Children cry.
Oh God, they suck.
I love that song. All right, Mercedes got her full entrance to come out and do commentary, and then
love the outfit.
Yeah, it was a good.
Stokely
comes out with Willow, and I'm like, oh man, he chose Willow over Statlander. But then I think it was Anna Jay comes out next.
It was Anna Jay,
and then Statlander comes out also with Stokely. So Stokely hauled ass to the back to make another entrance with. That was a nice touch. I like that. And then the last one was Sky Blue, I believe.
Yes.
And so they had a match. It was a bit of a mess. It was, but it was a good mess. Like they hit a lot of moves. Now the problem with this match, in my opinion, was Mercedes on commentary.
A little bit.
For the most part, it was fun when she was watching and getting into the match, and they would show her reacting. You could hear her reacting. Like that was kind of cool.
that was cool, but she needed to have an opinion, and she didn't have a strong opinion.
Well, except the one opinion she had was bad.
And
she, at the very beginning, it was
towing that heel line.
Well, she said she has unfinished business with Willow. And she said, which defeated me last year? And I'm like, I rewound that. Did I hear this right? So she's basically calling Willow an it. I think she meant to say who defeated me last year, but
yes.
Yeah. But, and regardless, that's fine. Speaking was never her strong point. And then she says, Excalibur asked if she blamed Willow for the injury. And she said, I don't trust that girl's smile. And it's like, Willow is the most natural babyface they have. The crowd has taken to her every step of the way. And here you got Mercedes saying she doesn't trust her smile.
She should have had an opinion about all four women. And I thought they came close to that, but I mean, a strong opinion about all four.
Well, she liked Statlander.
I just mean in terms of competition or what I would do if I was fighting her type of a thing. Something a little bit more.
It's still
She was playing character here, and that's not what we wanted out of her. We wanted her to be the expert on the division and say, okay, if I was fighting Statlander because she's so tall, I'd be doing this right now. That's what we wanted out of her, and we didn't get that. We got the this was more of the I'm happy to be here in AEW's women division, and it was fine. It just wasn't great, and that was the problem with it. Although I will say, for the match at least,
The match told a good story.
I don't give her enough flowers, but Anna Jay's actually improved, and it's not too late for her to. There were rumors she might do an excursion to Stardom, but it's not too late to put her on an excursion and to get her to improve.
Sky Blue is becoming a pretty good heel.
She's decent.
Yeah, like she's learning her role, and actually, you know, one thing that I was really impressed with was you can tell Mercedes has been watching this stuff because when Sky Blue set up the Cold Blue,
She called it.
She called it before it happened.
And you know what I saw right before that? Our boy Trevor, the Irish wrestling fan, going, "Oh, this will be a test." Like he called her Mercedes Moné Jones or whatever. If she's been paying attention, like unlike Booker T to the division or whatever. It's like, well, I guess proved you wrong there.
And you know what's funny? This is my wife was in the room at the time, and she was, you know, helping with Emily, and she was listening to the match, but she wasn't watching it. And when she heard Mercedes say Code Blue, my wife like turned around. She's like, "Oh, what's a Code Blue?" Like, so she like,
and she got Taz to pop for too. Wow. You knew the move kind of.
Yeah. No, but my wife was like, that got her interested in, that sounds cool. You know, like, so I explained it to her, and then she's like, and then she didn't win with it. But, you know, I said, well, yeah, she's not the one that was going
to
win.
Yeah. Reports of Mercedes coming into half-assed are greatly exaggerated.
No. Now, as the match went on, she said less and less, and she was just basically watching the match. And the story in the match was basically Willow and Statlander were kind of working together, but then they would get into it with each other. And then at one point they were going to square off, but Sky Blue got in between them. And then Willow gave Sky a DVD, Death Valley Driver, on the apron. Mercedes lost her shit at that one.
Yeah.
Like, she was just super impressed. Statlander went for a pile driver. Anna rolled her up, and Mercedes was cheering for Anna at this point. And then Willow came in and gave Anna a power bomb right in the middle for the win, and nobody broke it up, and she got the pin. And immediately she got attacked by Julia Hart and Mercedes. She didn't make the save, but she just stood up and kind of stared at Anna. And then eventually Statlander made the save and hugged Willow, and Sky Blue and Julia left. I thought
Willow should have pinned Statlander.
I thought that
was the answer to this match. I thought that's why all four of them were in there.
I think that one of those two were going to turn on the other, and then Mercedes put a kibosh on that one.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of here for a Mercedes versus Anna Jay death match.
Yeah.
Our queen of the death match and Mercedes. Come on, man. So
we're going to get Julia Hart and Willow now at Dynasty, which means we're probably not going to see Mercedes wrestle until at least Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing is going to be the Willow match.
Yeah. And assuming Willow wins the TBS title.
I would. I think she is. I mean,
but then that means she only gets the title for a month. But
yeah.
So I'm going to see Mercedes wrestle. I'm going to see Will Ospreay wrestle. I'm going to see Kazuchika Okada wrestle.
I think we are going to see them wrestle.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be there. Cool.
I might.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. See if I get tickets tomorrow.
Yeah. Why? Well,
pre-sale.
We'll talk. We'll talk off air.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So that's that. All right. Next, we got Renee with the legendary Dustin Rhodes. By the way, for those that don't know, you know that Dustin is Renee's favorite wrestler, right?
Really?
Like, yeah, for real.
Right? Did not know that.
She used to do a show in Canada called Right After Wrestling that aired Raw.
Yeah.
And she's always talked about that. She would come on shows painted up as Gold Dust. Like, yeah.
Oh, no, she liked Gold Dust. She didn't like Dustin Rhodes.
She likes Dustin Rhodes too. Like, this has gone back.
Well, I call him the Bat Troll.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But, definitely the WWE version. She mentioned that he's 3-1 in 2024. Asked him what's next. He said, well, my year started with a bang. Everyone on this roster is so talented. Every match I've had has been bangers. This is why I thought, they're setting him up for a match with Sheamus. I don't know. But he said, it's surprising at 55 years old. I'm still as passionate as ever. And then in comes the Butcher.
All right, stop. Because here's where I go, oh, my interest is peaked. The Butcher's come out to cut a promo on him.
But then they did comedy.
And that Blade Butcher versus QT and Dustin Bunkhouse match was a banger. I'm like, I am here for this. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
I'm Butcher is kind of slimmed down. He's coming in with some tood. He looks
older than Dustin.
Yes. And then we got your mustache smells.
And he says, it has its own musk. Yeah.
F off. F all the way off, because I'm looking for a hoss fight and you're giving me wacky crap. No, well, I will not accept this. Paul
well, Butcher Fontaine. Challenged him to a match on Rampage, which is going to be a hoss fight.
He's going to win by knocking him out with the scent of his mustache.
Maybe. No, Dustin's going to win. Come on.
No.
Dustin says, you think I'm going to be your stepping stone? Butcher says, yes.
Yeah, I love that.
That was awesome.
And Harkins, my favorite line in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
You think you can come in here and do that to us? Yeah.
He says, you're going to find out why I'm a natural born legend and everybody loves me, including Canada.
Oh, I was hoping for natural born killer.
Yeah. No, natural born legend.
Natural born legend.
Yeah. I like Dustin. He's.
I love Dustin.
Yeah.
I love middle-aged men who still go out there and do it. And, you know, I could do without the face paint. Don't get me wrong.
I was in the crowd for his first match as Goldust.
Were you?
And, I was in the front row, and I heckled him. I said, your daddy would be ashamed of you.
I was in the audience for one of his first house shows.
Oh, wow. Like back in the, like,
back in the Crockett 80s? Days. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, I liked him.
Him and Kendall, I think, were teaming.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. A couple of the whitest baby faces out ever.
There's a lot of lanky geese in that.
Yeah, that was before either one of them put on some weight. We got another video package. Someone in the Discord called Tonight Show Video Package Jones. There's a lot of video packages tonight. This one was from Turner Classic Movies, and it was Tony Storm with
Ben Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz, okay.
Yeah, he's the grandson of a very famous screenwriter.
Yeah, so
he's also a host on TCM.
I have no idea what the hell this was about, except I did make note of at the end when Tony asked Ben to repeat after me, chin up. He says, chin up, tits out.
I'm not saying that.
and watch out for the shoe. I have no idea what that means. And then she walks off, throws the shoe, and he's like, oh, that's self-explanatory.
Now, Mankiewicz now does the thing that Robert Osborne and also George Clooney's dad used to do. He does the intros and outros for a lot of the Turner Classic movies.
No, I know what he does.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if you knew.
No,
I just didn't know what the point of this thing was. Was
this the point is she does a class. She does it. Well, it's cross promotion for TCM a little bit.
Yeah.
But also it's Ben. They did this kind of in the beginning of the Tony Storm thing too.
I remember that. They advertised it ahead of time and everything. Yeah.
I was hoping for just a little bit more. Actually, I was hoping Mankiewicz would take a shoe. He'd take a shoe and take a bump.
He was awesome.
He's a weasel.
He was awesome in this though. Like his reactions were perfect.
Yeah, see,
like, I don't
he's
know
a
if
pretty
he,
good straight man.
I don't know if he if they practice this, but his
no, he has some acting training. He tried to okay. he tried to make it in the business okay. a little bit before he did this.
The way he said, "I'm not saying that."
Like, I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I just love the beat. There was that half a beat where he just yeah. goes, "I'm not saying that,"
and you knew it was coming. Like you call as soon as she started her catchphrase.
But when she said, like, "Watch out for the shoe," I was like, and he goes, "I don't know what that means." I wanted yeah. her to go off screen and throw it at him. That's what yeah. I wanted.
Yeah, that's self-explanatory. All right, we got a video package for Swerve. So this is basically his rebuttal to Callis's promo earlier. He didn't say much. He said their motivations are different, and mine is making history. Still playing with his chain, so I do feel like they're gonna have a. Him and Joe are probably going to have a chain match at Dynasty. And he says, he promises that Samoa Joe's never going to forget what I'm going to do to you at Dynasty. So he's basically looking past Takeshita, which I guess was smart because he didn't need to worry about Takeshita, it sounds like. All right. Next up in the West bracket, the best friends versus the qualifiers. They won a play-in game, and here they were wrestling the United Kingdom. When I woke up, the Undisputed Kingdom.
Okay. I had to be reminded of this. I thought last week Wardlow was put in charge as being the ward of Taven and Bennett.
Yep.
And this week they were accompanied by who?
Roddy Strong.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched this morning before work, I watched an old episode of ROH, and ironically enough, this is from 2011, and they were introducing a new character, and it was Michael Bennett, and he had long hair, and he's good looking dude, and not even close to the build he has now. Managed by Brutal Bob Evans, who was basically playing Mickey.
Yeah, from Rocky.
Yeah, and he just cut this promo, promised, you know, he's going to be the biggest star, blah, 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 blah. And here we are 13 years later, and he's tag team champion of the same company. So I also saw the Bravado Brothers wrestle, who the hell they were? Oh, World's Greatest Tag Team.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost.
I saw that match.
Yeah, the Bravado Brothers, one of them is Andre Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 13 years later,
that's Harlem Bravado. That's
yes, the, 13 years later, he's in WWE developmental,
and he's probably a bigger star. And he's making money. Yeah. I think he's outkicked his cover. But I was so happy for him.
I looked ahead 2 weeks, so I'll see this in 2 weeks. The Bravado Brothers beat the tag team of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes,
on that show. Yeah,
yes.
So yeah, that's coming. Anyways, this was. Best friends against, so it was Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta against Michael Bennett and Matt Taven. Crowd, I think, was chanting for Taven in this match. I'm not positive. They were chanting stuff, and the announcers were arguing over what they were actually chanting, I should say. Tony Schiavone called Trent one of the most underrated wrestlers in the company, pointed out that he's the only person in this match who's never had a title in the company. I think he's also the only one that's ever had a 5-star match. Which means nothing. And this was
Chuck was there.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't in the match. Chucky T was working the crowd from the outside. He's doing a good job of that, basically being the manager. And a crowd near the end was chanting, "Let's go, Taven." I'm sure that's what they were chanting. And Trent and Orange Cassidy both hit DDTs on Matt. Trent hit a running knee on Taven, knocked him to the outside. Roddy got on the ring apron and knocked out Chuck Taylor with his right hand. Then Orange Cassidy took Strong out with a dive. Kingdom went for a stuffed pile driver, but then Chucky T knocked Taven off the top rope, and then Trent rolled up Bennett and got the win. So these guys basically needed interference by their manager to beat these geeks that are the ROH Tag Team Champions. So the ROH Tag Team Champions once again lose. It really sucks to hold ROH belts if you're wrestling in AEW, because they never win.
It is also my opinion that this loss is also to just further the Wardlow story.
Except Wardlow wasn't there.
Exactly.
Oh, so he's going to be blamed for that, I guess.
He's going to be blamed for this.
Except he probably can't get into Canada.
Dude, let me put it this way. I was so sad hearing Tony saying that all those nice things about Trent Beretta.
I like Trent.
I don't know. I have this imaginary feud with Trent Barretta. I don't know what it is. It just, to me, he is the epitome of Rampage. Okay. 3.5-star special. I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
I think I'm still mad that he had a chance to cut a promo and he blew it. That's probably what I'm still angry about.
I saw him have a 5-star match with Shingo Takagi last year. So they tried to do that.
Remember when he was the big free agent getting him away from New Japan?
Who, Trent?
Yeah.
No.
They were gonna put him in the singles. They were gonna make him a single star. They're gonna elevate him from junior heavyweight to heavyweight. And he took the money with AEW instead.
You know what? Given where New Japan is now, and he probably made the right choice.
Probably.
I
think the mutton chops also bothered me too, because he looked like the Young Bucks dad.
yeah. Speaking of the Bucks, they interrupted the best friend's hug. So they came out, they started their entrance. They get about a tenth of the way down the ramp, and then all of a sudden the floor drops beneath them and they do a drop down. So they came out, did their music,
bringing the jokes. Dude, stop.
Well, the whole purpose was so that they couldn't hug, and and then they're wrestling.
I do love Sycophant Taz. It's so weird. I didn't like him in that segment, but throughout the whole thing when he's sucking up to the Jacksons, I laugh.
Because he doesn't want to get fined again.
Exactly.
So they're doing these two teams are in the Western bracket finals, I think, next week.
They're on the left-hand side of the bracket. That's what they are.
They're in the West finals. Excalibur pointed this out very clearly. Next collision is going to be the East finals. So we go back to Renee, hardest working woman in showbiz, Canada's own, they pointed out. And she's with Kyle O'Reilly. And she congratulated him on his big win over Brian Keith. And he says, there's no way to get ready, but I pulled it off. He said, it feels good to rip the Band-Aid off. We got such a deep roster here in AEW. There's no such thing as an easy match. Tell that to the Bucks. She asked him if he's having second thoughts of doing this alone, because we saw the Kingdom come out and congratulate you. And he says, I love those guys, but I did it on my own last week, and I'm going to do it on my own again this weekend in London on Collision. And then he says, Kyle O'Reilly, proven I belong. And it's like, what a dork.
This was the vanilla ice cream of promos, to the point where I thought he was like, I wasn't alone. I had all these crazy people living inside of me.
You fans.
I'm waiting for the bit. And I don't know when it's coming, but it has to be. This cannot be his gimmick. His gimmick cannot be plain Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah.
I mean, you didn't see this. Like, this guy. I mean, remember, who was it? Remember Gunther? When they did the contract signing with Sammy, and he criticized Sammy for looking like all these people in the crowd.
Yes.
Kyle O'Reilly looks like every fan in the crowd.
Like, Kyle O'Reilly looks like half the fans, about 30% of the poker players I watch.
Yeah.
Book geek. You know,
he's a good wrestler.
He looks like a grad student is what he looks like.
Yeah, which I mean is impressive because he's probably like 35.
There's some 35-year-old grad students.
True.
Especially in the astronomy department.
I met him in Dallas and
Hubble telescope.
Super nice guy.
Like, oh yeah. No. I've been at PWG. Very, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Not the most loquacious fellow in the world.
No. And I think Tony really likes him. So I do feel like he's probably going to get a pretty nice push here. And this is probably the start of it, but he's got to work on his look. Sorry.
I know.
I'm not talking about his body either.
The look will change when the punchline comes.
Yeah. You're probably right about that. Yeah. Because Roddy looks good right now. Like,
Roddy looks like a middle manager at a Best Buy.
Yeah, but he kicked my ass.
I'm sorry. Did you not enjoy your meal at Sizzler, sir? Would you like a refund on that? He is totally middle management Roddy Strong.
But he looks like he kick kill you. He's got
you know what he is? He's the middle manager who does jujitsu at night.
There you
whatever.
Go.
There you go.
Don't mess with that dude. All right, we got an Edge video package. It's pretty good. He was putting over winning the title last week. Said he's going to take this night to my grave. 40 years of pent up frustration, all worth it. He said he's bloodied, sore in a bloody mess. It's time he properly won a championship for the first time since 2011. This chapter's closed and it's time to move on. So it's time for me to defend this TNT title. So on Collision in London, the Cope Open is back and whoever wants to step up, feel free. So
is there a Canadian on the round? Ethan Page, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Because everything other than that screams, Brian Keith, come on down.
Commander,
Brian Keith.
Lee Moriarty. No, I think he already did that one.
Lee Johnson.
Shane Taylor. Yeah.
A.R. Fox.
Oh, God. Yeah, good thing we got the rankings back.
Angelico.
Oh, God. Angelico. Come on.
Fine.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think that was that's an Ian Riccaboni thing that everyone else is forced to do now.
Put Riccaboni in there. I'd like to see him get destroyed for a few minutes. Sorry.
Cedric Alexander. Caprice Coleman.
Coleman out of retirement. Yeah. Sure. You know, we have all sorts of guys we could get in there. Nigel. We're saving Nigel for Danielson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gonna be a surprise. That angle doesn't get heat. I don't know what will. Who's a Canadian? Stu Grayson.
That'd be good. Or Evil Uno.
Yes, that's who's.
But you know what we're getting?
Brian Keith.
No. You know what makes my nipples hard?
Oh God, it's Daddy Magic. that's such a good call too.
Yeah. But that would have been tonight. Nick Wayne, I mean, maybe, but Miss MG Geek is proposing Nick Wayne. It could be Nick Wayne, but that feels like something they'd actually build up.
Yeah, that actually feels like a pay-per-view match.
Yeah, or Battle of the Belts, maybe.
You know, like a lesser pay-per-view like
this. Yeah, we have a Battle of the Belts coming in next month, so.
Okay.
All right, Collision is going to be Righteous and Archer against Danielson, Claudio, and Shibata.
What?
So they are going, they're doing, yeah, yeah. And they're doing that match in Mexico City on Friday.
Okay, now is Yuta part of that match or has it been replaced with Matt Sydal?
Yuta can't wrestle. Okay. Yeah, so.
I saw Matt Sydal, I go, that's the.
Yeah, so that's in Mexico City. So it's Matt Sydal, Claudio, Danielson, and Moxley are wrestling for CMLL guys on Friday. And then they're flying to London, Ontario for Saturday. For this big match with the Righteous,
it's all right. Sydal's the one who's gonna have to take the pin in that thing, so we're fine.
Yeah, but I can't believe they're actually flying them into Ottawa for this.
Oh, like, or they're going on Tony's jet. They're on the private jet there.
You know that sometimes he calls people on like Friday afternoon, evening, even for matches to come to Collision. And then he's got to find flights for them and get them there and everything. And these are people that don't work for AEW. Like whenever you see these, like Tom Lawler shows up, like these aren't plans that he just announces on Friday. These are plans he makes on Friday.
Does he seem like the kind of guy to have a plan?
Remember when he had that clipboard at the Jags game?
He has the eyes bugging out. I have an idea.
So we're also going to see FTR in the Infantry and Top Flight against Absolutely Big. So that's Collision. I imagine some more will get announced on Twitter. And then Dynasty, we're going to have the finals of the AEW Tag Team Tournament, East Champion against the West Champion, Julia Hart against Willow for the TBS title, and Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. That's all that's official. But then also Samoa Joe will be defending the title against the winner of the next match. Well, actually, I'm not even sure if that's – no, they haven't even announced that, actually. They've just said that the winner is going to be the number one contender.
Right.
Although I think Joe said at the end of the night that there's going to be a contract signing next week. I think that's what he said, but we'll get to that. Swerve Strickland and Konosuke Takeshita, number one contenders match. Callis joined commentary. He said that the French-Canadian fans are out of control. They shook hands to start, but then they wouldn't let go. So then that kind of played into how the match was going to go. They showed Joe watching TV from the back, just like Okada earlier, for actually probably the exact same spot. Crowd is pretty dead. As I mentioned earlier, this was move. No real story, really. Other than, if you want to tell a story, I would say the story was, I think at one point Swerve either got hurt or was selling an injury, because every time he tried to do something with his, I believe it was his right arm, his shoulder would go out.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was the story. But then also the story was Takeshita was just so damn impressive that by the end of this match, the crowd, who didn't really even care about Takeshita at the start, was cheering for him. And Swerve is supposed to be the hot babyface. And I don't know, like since Ospreay got there, I think Swerve has dropped at least a peg, if not more. He does not feel hot right now.
There are things you could have done in this match to prevent that too. Like not having Don Callis on commentary and having him actually be the heel manager in yeah. this match.
Yeah.
Paul, we had a story set up last week for this match and we just completely blew by it.
Well, not only that, Callis set up a story in his promo.
Yes. Last week we had Takeshita injure his arm and we had Swerve win a match with an arm lock.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Exactly.
And
they did neither of those things this week.
No, if anything, it would have been Swerve that hurt his arm last week based on what happened. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, man.
This is what made me so mad about this match, Paul.
Yeah.
I pay attention to these things. Like I watch the product.
Yeah. Well, so do I, but I forget. But I mean, the match, like, again,
they set up the story last week for the finish. The end is in the beginning. This is what they're doing. Takeshita injures himself so he can take the loss to this newfound skill of joint manipulation by Swerve. And instead, we get the super indie, I'm just going to jump off the top while you stare at me for a while ending. I'm livid at this match, Paul. I am livid at it, to be honest with you, because it was a fine match, but they're telling dumb stories. Callis is on the promo thing talking about his guy and how much he cares about his guy, and he should be the main heel manager, and instead he's letting Nana get all this heat. I'm like, what are we doing here? Go be a heel, Don Callis. Go get booed. Get your guy booed. And then get him screwed out of this match somehow or whatever so that we can move on the storyline type thing. No, instead, Takeshita, who is now, he's still a great talent, and he's big and he's huge, but he always loses in kind of dumb ways. You know?
I got some breaking news here.
Oh, is Kevin here with rankings talk?
Kevin's not here, but
okay.
I did get the rankings. So here we go. I think I got
him. Jeez, really?
Give me a second. Yeah. All right, here we go. Can you see that? So people on the people on audio, I'll read them out for you. The men's champion, Samoa Joe, Adam Copeland, Roderick Strong, and Kazuchika Okada. Your top five contenders. Swerve Strickland, who, spoiler alert, won the main event.
Yeah.
Number two contender, Orange Cassidy. I believe he's 8-1, so that's not a bad pick, even though he's wrestling in a tag team right now. John Moxley, who we haven't seen or heard from in I don't know how long. I think he's on vacation, but nobody's quite sure. Is number three. Will Ospreay is number four, and Brian Danielson is number five.
How is Brian Danielson number five?
Jeff, I don't know.
You put him up here to talk.
I know.
This is that I'm ruining.
Although I don't know who, like, okay, so I'm looking at this rankings. I don't know who else I would put in there. Like, I was actually trying to think about this earlier today and thinking about, like, who is hot? And, like, nobody's really hot because...
It's Brian Keith. He's not...
No, he's not on there. Pac was somebody that someone
Pac
pointed out.
Pac would be a unbeaten. Good one.
Yeah. Eddie, maybe, you know? Like, he's only lost to Okada.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only lost to Okada. He beat Danielson. Like, why is he ranked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takeshita's still up there. He's only lost to Ospreay.
Yeah, why isn't Takeshita on there? Well, he did lose to he lost to Swerve and he also lost to someone else.
This is pre-swerve, though. No, he lost to Oscar.
No, this is after the swerve match. Oh, okay. So these are after tonight. The women.
Wait, Takeshita lost again tonight?
He lost. Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. No, yeah, he lost to swerve.
Yeah, but I mean before, but this is. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he lost another match, too.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can't remember. He lost Ospreay in the family, remember? Because
you are correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Your women's rankings, Toni Storm and Julia Hart. I'm surprised Mercedes is the number one contender.
How is Willow ranked lower than Mariah May? That's ridiculous.
Mariah May is like 6-0. She's undefeated. A lot of jobbers. So Thunder Rosa, number one contender, Mariah May, number two, Willow Nightingale, number three, Deonna Purrazzo, number four, Serena Deeb, number five, who I don't even think we've seen Serena Deeb in, like, feels like months.
She's been on Collision.
Yeah, but not wrestling. I think she hasn't wrestled in like a month.
Her AEW was actually pretty funny.
Oh, good for that. Tag team championships are vacant. Your top five contenders, the Best Friends are the number one contenders.
The Ring of Honor tag team champions not making it on the top five, well, but I guess they lost tonight. I forget these came out after tonight, so never.
Matthew and Nicholas Jackson are number two. John Moxley and Claudio are number three. Big Bill and Ricky Starks are number four. FTR is number five. So yeah, that's your top five there.
All right.
And then your trios champs. The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass are the champions. The contenders are the Bang Bang Gang, the Elite. The Elite, who've wrestled one match together, and it was really just Okada.
It's all right. The Undisputed Kingdom can't buy a win.
True. Blackpool Combat Club is number three. Undisputed Kingdom is number four. House of Black is number five, even though I think they've lost like the last
The
two.
Dark Order is better than two of these teams.
The Dark Order is awesome. Off of the rankings. I think this is the first time since the new rankings came out that the Dark Order is off them. Okay. I should have waited till after the show for that, but oh well. But there's way more interesting.
Brody King should be the new Mr. Brody for the Dark Order. That's how I'd fix that.
Ooh, that'd be good. So this match, they eventually got the crowd into it. They were chanting holy shit at one point after Swerve hit a Swerve stomp on the apron. Then he rolled him into the ring and he went for it again, but Takeshita powerbombed him. I don't exactly know how they went from a swerve stomp to a powerbomb, but anyways, he went for a Falcon Arrow. Swerve chopped him in the back of the neck. Takeshita reversed and hit a wheelbarrow suplex, then a V trigger. Swerve barely got his shoulder up. Callis said Swerve could improve with proper management. Takeshita put Swerve on the top rope, went for a superplex. Swerve fought him off, knocked him down.
You mean the kind of management that sits on commentary instead of helping their guy in the number one contender match?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
I missed the Swerve swamp. Swerve countered with a Hurricane Rana. I went for the last call, or is it the house call? It's a house call. And then went for the swerve stomp, but hit it, and he hit it. Takeshita kicked out at the last second. Swerve hit a battering ram headbutt. Takeshita hit a jumping knee. Swerve hit a standing swerve swamp, and then the big pressure and got the win. So this was basically, you know, it was kind of a mixture of like just the high impact AEW stuff with a bit of strong style mixed in.
What was it, Callis or Tony, who called it Maison de Swerve? Because I popped for that.
I think that was Callis.
Okay.
Tony Schiavone said when the match was over, if this wasn't a 5-star match, I've never seen one.
Yeah, shut up, Tony. Don't do star ratings on my match. Yeah.
It's like when Daniel Cormier tries to score a match.
Again, I was waiting for Takeshita's injured elbow and Swerve's.
Yeah.
Submission game to come into play here, but they just absolutely
because he debuted that submission last week. Yeah I do.
That's how he's supposedly going to be beating Joe.
I hope Swerve isn't really hurt. He seemed to like it stop, you know, selling that shoulder by the end of the match.
He landed a little wrong on something on there though.
Yeah so hopefully he's okay. They did show Joe watching the match from the back, and then Renee found him after the match. He said, asked him how he felt. He said, it doesn't matter how I feel, it matters how Swerve feels. Next week, when you sign on that dotted line, you're going to understand what I'm asking you for. You think you're ready. You're not that man. And he walked off, and Renee stared at him, and she didn't smile. She did not smile.
Yeah.
I hope the Bucks were watching and find her ass.
What's wrong with you?
Did I sound like Matt there?
Yes.
Okay, that was the goal. Joe's great. Joe's an awesome champion. I don't know why they do the watching the TV thing. Like, I really don't.
I would have rather had Joe on commentary for this as the number one contender.
Yes. Yeah.
And have Callis be acting as a manager than Joe just being nonplussed by the whole thing after he wins. Just give him the applause, leave with the belt in a suit, and just be the badass that he is.
They could have done the thing where Callis was at ringside and Nana was at ringside. They both interfere at different times and they both get kicked out.
Yes.
And then it's just Konosuke and Swerve.
I would have been fine with that as well.
Yeah. Kevin here. Oh, he's just watching. Okay. I was going to say he could come in. I thought he was like in the room. He's not. Kevin, we did get the ratings. We just talked about them. That was Dynamite. And, it wasn't my favorite Dynamite of all time, but I mean, it had two really awesome matches. It's just trying to think of what this would be like.
I don't think it accomplished anything on the build, so I find it to be kind of a failure in that way.
You know what this was to me? Okay, someone brought up McDonald's today. It might have been Matt. And he said that, it is the old thing that people always say about how, if you like WWE, it's like McDonald's or whatever. And I'm like,
oh, that's a Tanahashi statement.
This is like when you go to McDonald's. Do you ever go to McDonald's?
I used to work there, so no.
Oh, okay. Well,
I do occasionally, but it's too expensive.
I'm sure this applies for other restaurants.
I'm paying $12 for a Big Mac when I used to pay $2.50, but go ahead.
True. Well, if you go to McDonald's and you get your meal of choice, and for me, it's like a filet fish. And if I get a really good filet fish, but then the fries are cold. And that happens to me all the time. And I don't realize it until I'm pulled away and I can't do anything about it. And that's what it was. I got my real good filet of fish, which is the matches, those two matches that bookended the show.
Yeah.
But even those matches weren't as good as I was hoping they'd be. And the fries sucked. So.
Yeah. Like, okay. Now I'm getting your vibe. One of the disappointments of me not going to WrestleMania this year is it's in one of my favorite food cities in the world. Food and drink cities is Philadelphia. I used to go there every year for the improv festival, and then my best friend from college also lives out there. But one of my favorite restaurants out there is a place called Whiskey Village. It's a Jose Andres joint. Favorite meal I've ever had was there. Duck fat fries and a beer cheese sauce with braised short ribs over it.
Ooh.
And the fries tasted burned.
Yeah. So
and it ruined the entire meal, and that's my favorite meal, and I wait for it and I travel for it. And look, the old fashioned was good, but this is my favorite food, and I'm hyping this thing up.
I'm not even sure why. Like, I think, and maybe, subconsciously, it was the stuff you're talking about that I kind of know in the back of my head, but I wasn't thinking about while I was watching. But something was off in that main event, even though it was really good. And it was probably what you said.
They set something up from last week, and they didn't follow through on it.
Yeah.
And no one's going to point that out. And you know what's weird is it's a parallel feeling I had to the opening match, where it's like we are hyping this guy as an aerial assassin, and we just decided to do the ground pound because it's like, oh, it's Shibata, so we have to do a Shibata match here. No, you don't. And it's one of those things where maybe you do.
I mean, maybe that's the only kind of match Shibata can do.
Maybe, but then don't put Shibata in that deal there.
You don't have to have Shibata in the match.
Do something where it's a beat the clock match or do another thing in there so that
That's WWE. People don't
know. But it's a perfect. Well, I mean, the whole thing was I'm going to beat him faster.
Yeah.
More impressive. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he wasn't more impressive than Danielson.
I don't think so. No.
You failed in the obvious setup to the match.
Although I want to see Ospreay after this match. I want to see him in the back, and I want to see if his shoulder looks like he dropped a gallon of paint on it, like Danielson did after that match.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like you're setting things up and then you don't follow through on them. Instead, you decide to do, something you think is more crowd pleasing, and it turns out not to be crowd pleasing.
Well, that's because Tony's a matchmaker, not a booker.
Yes, no, he's he's also a former tape trader, and this is something I want a highlight reel type of
thing.
He's
a fan. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Tony wanted to see Ospreay and Shibata.
Yes,
probably more than anybody watching.
Yes, that's a problem.
It could be, yeah.
Because this is not the time for a good wrestling match. This is a time to get Will over.
Well, certainly it could be, but I mean, you also got a pay-per-view to sell. And I do think, like, between the video package afterwards and whatever Ospreay's promo next week's going to be, I am fully confident that by the time we get to that pay-per-view, it's going to do fine. And it's going to do fine on the strength of Danielson and Ospreay.
Okay. Because, here's my question for you then.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to see that promo, because I'm wondering who do you put in the role of the heel in this match? Because I don't want any of this. Oh, they're just two guys trying to be the best.
No, Danielson's going to be the heel. Danielson's the heel. Yeah.
Good, because then I want Danielson to threaten to break his legs or something. I want some sort of, because I was thinking maybe you put Ospreay with old Callis coming out there again.
I don't think you do that because they want Danielson in that role where he can be a babyface or a heel depending on the situation, and he is so good that he can do it.
Like, yeah, they're going to do the Ring of Honor crap though. They are. Maybe, it's going to be maybe. The handshakes, the respect.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm tired of everybody respecting each other. Punch somebody in the face. That's what I want.
All right, Jeff. Let's do your plugs, and then I'll bring up my show that's coming up.
We'll be doing Shake Them Ropes this week, myself and Chris Novembrino, going over all the other things in stateside wrestling, including this show, including old Cody channeling his father at Techwood Studios, getting beaten up in the parking lot. Only thing missing was him yelling, "Make it good." We'll see what happens there. We'll see if any other news breaks. Maybe talk a little Becky Lynch. That would be kind of fun, but that'll drop on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network or in Shake Room Rope's own feed, depending on when we record. I don't know if it's going to be Thursday or Friday yet.
That's what happens when you bleep with the final boss. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mako Satomura? Okay, go ahead.
And me. So, next Monday on this very YouTube channel, I'm going to be debuting a new show. Title to be determined, although the working title right now is... If it
the
makes
Paul
you happy.
Fontaine Vanity Project? No, no. I think we should call it that.
It might as well be. No, if it makes you happy.
Okay.
And my first guest is going to be the aforementioned Kevin Ely.
Oh, nice.
And the concept of this show is going to be, and I'm going to participate in the first show as well, but it's going to be a match, a show, an angle, something in your wrestling fandom at some nice. Point that made you happy. So tune in and it'll be live, but it'll also be archived. So you can join us at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, 10 in the only time that matters is Central. And and it'll be myself and Kevin. And we'll talk about what makes us happy. I think so. It's very and we'll be looking for guests. I'm going to try to hit up some. I'll probably ask you at some point. I'm going to ask people in the Fight Game Media family. I'm going to ask people in the wrestling industry, you know, to see if they want to come on, because I think it's important to remember why we became fans and what made us happy as fans to watching shows. Too much of this tribalism shit, you know, AEW versus WWE and all that.
Can't stand the tribalism.
And you know, 5-star matches and all that. I was thinking back to when I was a fan and I would sit and talk to my buddy every Tuesday morning. We never talked about the matches that were great. Like, we talked about the angles.
And
we
the
talked
promos.
About promos. We talked about things that happened in matches, mm-hmm. but we didn't necessarily, we talked about the results. We didn't care about whether it was a 5-star match. We cared about who won. And now it's like, I'll look at my list on my chart of the 5-star matches and everything. I bet you half of them, I don't even remember who won. You know what I mean? Like, it's sad in a way. So this, I'm trying to get back to the roots here with this show. So it'll be next Monday at 10. And for now, it's just gonna be on YouTube. If people like it, we may put it on audio as well. But we're just gonna start on YouTube. So, and it's just gonna be me and with a guest every week. So first week is gonna be Kevin, and he's gonna share his, and I'm gonna share mine. And then going forward after that, it'll just be me and the guest talking about their moment or match or show or whatever. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
So
sounds fun.
So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
Dun dun dun.
If it makes you happy.
Oh god.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.